What is up, all my Nexus family? It is your host, Dr. Daniel Kimbley, and you are tuned into a 53rd episode of the Nexus Podcast. And on this week's episode of the podcast, I'm going to talk about athletes and recovery and why waiting until you have an injury is a terrible idea. So kick back, relax, and enjoy this 53rd episode of the Nexus Podcast. As usual, I was inspired by one of our clients in the office. We were talking about athletes, we were talking about runners, we were talking about recovery. And one of the things that came up is like, so many people that we know are completely beat up as athletes. And a perfect example of this, there's a guy that I used to be in a networking group with, and every week he would come to me and he would talk to me about, I hurt my elbow again playing tennis. Oh, I hurt my left knee when I was out on the golf course. I think I pulled my hamstring last week doing this. And it was always like this constant, one thing was injured or another thing was injured, or it was a foot, or he was seeing a PT, or he was seeing somebody because he was constantly injured. And as we're having this conversation, it brought up like a number of things for me where I started thinking about physiology. I started thinking about the brain. I started thinking about, obviously, about chiropractic care, because this is what I love and what I'm passionate about is allowing people to heal at their best. But the thing that really came to me is this, is that waiting until you have an injury is, in fact, a terrible idea. If you wait until you are injured, if anyone waits until they are injured, before they start doing or making decisions that are going to allow their bodies to actually heal, then you're way behind the curve. So the best example I could give of this is, think of like this. Nobody in their right mind would wait until they're 100 pounds overweight to decide, you know what, maybe it's a good idea to exercise. Or you know what, maybe it's a good idea to change up my diet. Now, certainly some people do that, but I think most of us, we realize that like the decisions that we make along the way on a day-to-day basis are going to influence exactly the outcome of our lives. So for instance, if you know, and we all know this, we've all been told this, you've seen the documentaries, you see the science on TV, you've seen it everywhere, magazines, etc., is that fast food is bad for you. And yet still, some people make decisions to eat fast food every single day. Those people would never eat healthy food, maybe go eat a salad for lunch and eat some kind of chicken and rice for dinner, and then wake up in the morning and be upset because they didn't have a six pack. Nobody would ever, ever do that. And so the same is true with your health. Is like, why is it that we've been brought up in a world where we are taught to believe that if we don't have anything wrong with us, then we are healthy? Which this is just not the case. And so the case for recovery becomes this, is like, if you're waiting until you have an injury, if you're a hardcore athlete, if you're a hardcore anything, and you're waiting until something goes wrong to do something about it, then you're always playing reactive instead of proactive. And this is what I get so passionate about, is because there's a conversation that we have to have of sick care versus health care. And in the current sick care model, I was raised this way too. We are brought up, we are told to believe that if there's nothing inherently wrong, if that we quote unquote feel good, then there's nothing wrong and we don't need to see a doctor. We don't need to make decisions that would align with us to actually be healthy. On the other end of this is a thing called healthcare. And so healthcare, in my opinion, is doing things that are going to allow health within your system from day one, not just treating sickness or treating disease or treating injury. And so we have, unfortunately, in the United States of America, primarily a sick care model. Sick care model says, if you have a fever, you need to go to a doctor, you need to get a diagnosis, you need to take a medication to fix your sickness. If you have a broken leg, you need to go to the emergency room, you need to have a doctor set it, and then you need to fix your injury. And this could be the same with any injury. The same is true with, if we look at someone as like, if you go your entire life and you've never been to the doctor, and then all of a sudden you start having tingling in your left arm and you have a heart attack, it's like, that person wasn't healthy up until the day they had the heart attack. That thing had been going on long, long before they decided to go to the doctor because they felt numbness and tingling in their left arm, which led up to the heart attack. There had been a number of things in place, a number of physiological factors that had been happening long before the person had the heart attack. So my question for you is this, is like, if we lived in a healthcare model, would that person have had the heart attack? If they were doing things to address their health from day one, would that person have had to go in and get remediated for their heart attack? And my answer unequivocally is no. Certainly there are some points when people are just gonna have heart attacks. It could be a neurological issue. There could be a genetic issue, which is very, 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 very rare. I'm gonna say less than 5% of the population. Most of it is because we have a sick care model. If there's nothing wrong, if there's nothing inherently wrong, even though we quote unquote feel good, then you're fine or you're healthy, which just isn't the case. And let me give you a couple examples of this. One of the, I was taking care of a guy, he's like 67 years old, and I start taking care of him, and he was with us for a month, and then 2 months, and then 3 months, and then 4 months, and then 5 months, and then 6 months, and then 7 months, and he just stayed under care. And he came to me one day, and he said, "Doc, I just want you to know that I cannot believe how bad I felt before I started seeing you." And I'm like, "Tell me more about what you mean by that." And he's like, "I didn't even realize how bad off I was until I started seeing you, because now I know what it feels like to feel good." Like, he had no concept in his brain for what it was like to feel good. So the question maybe then is like, well, what is feeling good for him? Because that's a pretty vague conversation, and feeling good for each of us is different. So here are a couple things that happen. Erectile dysfunction, no longer there. Be as a result of chiropractic care. No other changes in his life. No diet changes, no relationship changes. Simply adding chiropractic care to his regimen of what he did, erectile dysfunction completely goes away. I'll explain the physiology of why this happens here in a second on the podcast. Next, he starts talking about how he just has more energy, so he doesn't feel like he needs to take two naps throughout the day. Again, he's 67 years old, partially retired, working from home mostly. Now, he has the energy to do things. He doesn't feel like he needs to take two naps throughout the day, and then he's sleeping better at the end of the day. All of these things contribute to him being happier, feeling like he has a better relationship with his wife, feeling good in general, just feeling like a better, more productive human being. So for him, there are a number of costs that are associated with it, and actually was costing him money in terms of earned money in business because he was so exhausted, because he felt so bad, because he was living in a sick care model until he stepped foot into our office and we introduce him to a healthcare model that addresses his body's health and healing, not fixing some problem within his system. And this is the conversation that you have to understand, is that you get to decide, right? No one can force you to do it. But if you don't take an active approach in your health, then you're living in a sick care model. You can call it healthcare, you can call it health insurance, but all that insurance is simply to do something once you get sick or once you get injured. And this is why it's a terrible idea, because there's so many more costs associated with addressing sickness than there are addressing health. And the first one, like just a simple example of this, is we know that all orthopedic conditions, so bad knees, bad hips, bad shoulders, bad feet, all orthopedic conditions are preceded by neurological dysfunction. I'm gonna say that one more time. All orthopedic conditions, bad knees, bad ankles, bad hips, bad shoulders, bad necks, bad backs, whatever it is, all orthopedic conditions are preceded by neurological dysfunction. What does this mean? This means that long before you had a blown out knee, long before someone had a bad hip that had degeneration to the point where they had to get a hip replacement, long before the person had to have rotator cuff surgery in their shoulder, long before that, muscles were firing inappropriately around that joint due to neural control, due to the brain's control of those muscles around that joint. And as that joint isn't moving properly because the muscles aren't firing properly, because the brain's not controlling them well, it leads to long-term degeneration of the joint. This is why people often are like, "I'm fine, never been injured before, and then all of a sudden I just blew out my knee." It's because they're addressing their body from a sick care model, not from a healthcare model. And there are costs associated with it. It's a lot more expensive to get a knee replacement than it is to do just some simple maintenance with your body on a week-to-week basis so that you don't ever have to have a knee replacement in the first place. And I see this all the time. This is part of the reason why I love taking care of kids, because I know kids who are under long-term chiropractic care, they're not going to have to worry about those injuries that come from degeneration over time. They're actually living in a healthcare model, which ends up being they get sick less often, they get injured less often. When they do get injured, they recover faster. And I see this with any people of all ages. And so let me just share a quick story with you about my experience of chiropractic care and recovery and why waiting till you have an injury is a bad idea. So I was playing competitive volleyball. This is back in Indiana. I was actually playing sand doubles. And one of the things that I noticed is that when I got under chiropractic care, I started looking around all the people around me who needed medication to play the sport. So some of them were trading prescription medications. Some of them were taking over-the-counter medications to literally play matches throughout the evening when we would play and when we would compete. And so what I realized is that not only was my mobility better, we're all the same age, we're all CrossFitting, we're all eating healthy. Not only was my mobility better, but I just didn't get injured. Like I literally never got injured and never had to sit out, never had shoulder injuries. And I'm not special. Like I wasn't a high level athlete when I was in high school or college. I didn't play sports at all in college except for competitive volleyball, which I got introduced to. Like I wasn't bred to be a volleyball player. And I played baseball, but I never took it seriously. I never even really seriously started lifting weights or working out until after I graduated high school and I turned 18. And so like, I'm not some genetic freak. Actually, like more than likely, I would be more predispositioned to getting injured because of the fact that I punished my body chemically through high school. And so, well, I share this with you because this is what I saw, is that I was under chiropractic care, other people weren't, everybody else around me as we age was falling apart, and I wasn't. It just wasn't my story. I was getting better, I was increasing, I was faster, all of these things, and it was a result of chiropractic care because of what I understand about neurology. And so I'm just sharing this with you because there are ways to prevent injuries so you never have to sit on the sidelines, and one of the ways to do that is having regular brain-based chiropractic care. And so my wife, Heather, here's what she noticed. She was a physical therapist, and one of the things that she saw very quickly was that one of her clients, or actually many of her clients, the ones who were seeing chiropractors regularly, would recover so much more quickly. And so the coolest example that I have is she was taking care of a high school girl whose dad was actually a chiropractor, and she got hit funny playing lacrosse, I believe the sport was, and she blew out her knee, which is a freak injury. That's an emergency injury. She had to get surgery on it. Heather was a physical therapist. So as Heather's working with her, one of the things she noticed is like the speed at which she got her range of motion back was faster than she had ever seen with anybody ever before. And she attributes it to the fact that this girl was under regular chiropractic care. She was getting adjusted regularly, in the way that the body heals itself when it's adjusted is on at 100%. And I'm gonna explain why this happens in just a second. And so Heather noticed this with all of her clients, though. The ones who would get under chiropractic care recovered faster. And not only that, they wouldn't get re-injured. And this is the important piece, is because those people started realizing that they living in a healthcare model is actually better and easier than living in a sick care model. Addressing recovery now before you ever have an injury is the most important thing you can do. Now, we need to clarify before I get into the science behind this is, what am I talking about when I talk about recovery? Because here's the fact. Most people, when they look at recovery, this is what they think of. They think of nutrition. They think of post-workout shakes. They think of Epsom salt baths. They think of ice. They think of heat. They think of foam rollers. They think of stretching. They think of mobility. They think of massage therapy. They think of acupuncture sometimes. And the problem with all of those things, not that any of them are bad, they're actually great. The problem with all of those things, though, is that none of them address movement of the joints of the spine to stimulate the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And the brain is important because the brain is what tells your body to heal. And there are a number of ways in which it does this. There are a number of sections of the brain that tell your body to heal and activate certain physiology to get your body either to heal or to be in stress mode. And so not addressing the brain is like the biggest mistake that you could possibly make in terms of your recovery. If you want to be an athlete and do what you love to do forever and not break down and not fall apart, I'm telling you, it is imperative for you to have your nervous system checked, for you to have your spine adjusted, and make sure that your neurology is functioning at 100%. The only way to know if it is not anything to do with feeling. However, you have to get checked. You have to be checked by a brain-based chiropractor. You have to be checked by a neurologically-based chiropractor. There should be a scan involved. There should be neurological tests involved. If you don't have those things in place, then you just saying that, oh yeah, my nerves are healthy or my brain is healthy, you have no idea that that's the case because you've never tested it. We have very cool ways of doing that. Would love to share them with you. I'm actually going to put a brain balance assessment in the show notes of this so you can take that assessment on your own and see where you lie. Just look at what your score is. If you score less than 21, you definitely need some work. If you score higher than 21, then you might be okay. I would still encourage you to have your nervous system checked by a chiropractor anyway, but that's a conversation for a different time. So here's what happens. Getting back to recovery. and why waiting until you get an injury is a terrible idea. So we've all heard this thing fight or flight before. Fight or flight is simply a stress response within the body. It's also called the sympathetic response. So that fight or flight mode, that stress mode, it prevents your body from healing. You cannot be in stress mode and in healing mode at the same time. So here's what happens. We have stresses in our lives like email, traffic, bosses, quarantine, you name it. And all of these things prevent us from being in a place of full healing because it's stress. And so one of the things that's important about fight or flight is it requires lots of movement. I've talked about this on multiple episodes of this podcast. But if you don't fight or run away in a time when your body is releasing stress hormones, your brain is going to go into protective mode. And every time you have the stress response, every time you have a stress in your life, whether you think about it or whether it actually happens to you, a number of things happen. And I'm not going to walk through the whole physiology because I've walked through that on other episodes of the podcast, but specifically for recovery, this is what I want to talk about. One of the things that happens when your body goes into stress mode is your amygdala releases a hormone called CRH, which is corticotropin releasing hormone. And guess what this does? It activates the emotional centers of your brain. Those emotional centers of your brain are designed to give you anxiety, to make you worry about things, to make you remember a scary situation. And so when those get activated, the only other thing that can happen is that it shuts down the part of your brain responsible for logic, responsible for memory, and responsible for focus, which means you can easily get distracted and you have less willpower. So if you are a hardcore athlete who cares about your performance, if your willpower is decreased, nutritionally, you will make poor decisions. From a training standpoint, you will make poor decisions. If you're an athlete who needs lots of concentration like a golfer and you haven't addressed your stress and seen if you have stress stuck on in your system, whether or not you can feel it, these hormones can be being released within your system and you cannot feel them. The only way to know if they're there is to get checked. And so one of the things that happens, like if you shut down the logic, memory, and focus, and you're easily distracted and you have less willpower, think about it. For golfers, you have to be able to concentrate for 18 holes. I know a number of people who can't. I was just having a conversation with one of our clients. He's like, dude, on the fairway, like me driving a ball down the fairway, he's like, I'm the best I've ever been since I've been under your care. It's because we're starting to activate the concentration centers of his brain again. As a result, his body's covering better as well. And so one of the things, he hasn't experienced an injury with golf, which he had a nagging thing before, but that's a story for a different conversation. In volleyball, think about any other sport that you like, when you overthink it, you mess it up. So if you have your amygdala releasing CRF or CRH, then one of the things, the only thing that can happen is that your body's going to be in stress mode. You're going to have less willpower. You're going to be more easily distracted. You're not going to have the focus that you have because stress kills concentration. And if you can't concentrate, it's going to mess up your training. So you should probably be taking steps in order to address your recovery. And one of the ways as an athlete you address your recovery is by addressing your stress, by addressing where is there stress or that fight or flight stuck on in your system, turning off your body's ability to actually heal itself. So from a muscle tissue, from a bone, from a joint perspective, this is what you need to know. If you have a chronic increase in stress hormones, meaning you have not had chiropractic adjustments as a part of your life, if you have not had neurologically based chiropractic care, then you likely have chronic increased stress hormones floating around in your system and you don't even know it because you've had fight or flight mode and your body hasn't gotten up and fought or moved around. And so your brain goes into protective mode. That protective mode is chronic stress. And so what happens is during that time, your body decreases its production of serotonin. Serotonin is important for a number of things. Here's just a few of the things that serotonin is responsible for. One, your sex drive. So if you decrease serotonin, you decrease your sex drive. Why does this happen? Because it decreases testosterone. Testosterone helps us build up muscle and to grow stronger in both men and in women. It also affects our sex drive. So when I talked about the guy with ED before erectile dysfunction, literally, as we started adjusting him, we turned off stress in his body, we increased the serotonin, it increased the sex drive because it increases testosterone. It also, decrease in serotonin decreases your ability to sleep. Guess when your body primarily recovers from your hardcore workouts or your hardcore runs or your other activities that you would be doing that you need to recover for? It's during your sleep. So if you have decreased serotonin, it's more likely that you're not going to sleep well. Plus you have stress hormones that are keeping you awake in the first place. And so if you have decreased sleep, if you have decreased serotonin, you also have decreased growth hormone. Now, this is important because growth hormone is primarily responsible for helping you build up new healthy tissue within your body. And so if you have chronic stress stuck on in your system, again, key whether or not you can feel it. So you may be the person that's like, I don't feel stressed out. I feel like everything is good. My question for you is, have you had your nervous system checked to actually know that you don't have stress on? Because if you do have stress on in your system, then for sure, 100%, you have decreased testosterone. You're going to have decreased sleep and you're going to have decreased growth hormone. I have people who sleep 8 hours a night already. I started them under care and they said, I've slept deeper than I've ever slept in my entire life and continue to do so forever. It's because their body goes back into healing mode. I could give tons of examples of this, but I don't want to harp on this forever. And so another piece of this is these are just pieces of the physiology. It's not the entire response because this would be a 20-hour podcast if I were to explain all the physiology involved with this. Again, it's just to focus on the recovery aspect of it because hardcore athletes, waiting until you have an injury is a terrible idea. And these are the things that are why. Because if you're not addressing your chronic stress, by the way, exercise is a stress on the system. And so every time you're breaking down your muscle tissues during your workouts, if you never give your body a chance to fully recover from those, then this increases your likelihood for injury in the first place. So you're tearing down your muscle tissue, you have chronic stress, your body never recovers itself, and then this leads to long-term injuries, and then you have a six-month road back to recovery. Or you have something that just nags and nags and nags and keeps coming back and keeps coming back. I literally just got done having a conversation with one of my friends who's a runner, and she had a chronic foot pain for months and months and months and months and months. And so we started adjusting her, just a few adjustments, we get her back to running again, and she hasn't had an issue since. And you know, the list could go on and on of the people I've helped who had these chronic nagging injuries that just go away. And it's because we take the body out of stress mode into healing mode. I'm not fixing them. I'm letting their body heal itself because this is what we do as chiropractors, as neurologically based chiropractors. So another part of the stress response to get back into this is that every time your body releases stress hormones, one of the things that it does releases cortisol. Cortisol increases sugar in your bloodstream. Sugar in your bloodstream long-term creates insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is a precursor to diabetes. So if we have increased insulin resistance because we have so much sugar in our bloodstream, again, from the stress response, not from our diet, we have increased insulin resistance. It actually decreases magnesium levels within our blood and within our body. Here's what's interesting. Magnesium is required for muscle relaxation. So all of you out there who feel like I'm chronically tight, my muscles are always so tight, and I can't seem, no matter how much I stretch or no matter how much mobility I do or no matter how much foam rolling or no matter how much massage I do, my muscles just always seem tight, and I think I just have tight hamstrings. I was born that way. It's actually not the case. It's likely that your body's so stressed out that you've never addressed it in a way that physiologically speaks to the very problems that you're having. And because of that, you have decreased magnesium levels, you're starting to get increased insulin resistance, and that magnesium is required for muscle relaxation. So the only way to get out of the magnesium deficit is not to put on magnesium lotion, is not to supplement more magnesium, because that's just a masking tape to the problem. It's not actually addressing the cause of the decreased magnesium in the first place, which is the body's stress response. So what you have to do to address the cause is address why your body's stuck in stress mode in the first place. And so, like I said, that magnesium is required for muscle relaxation. The other interesting thing about magnesium is that also, if you have a decrease of it, it constricts your blood vessels, which increases your blood pressure. So you don't want higher blood pressure if you're a runner, or if you're an athlete. You want more oxygen being delivered to the muscle tissue. So if we have more magnesium, if we have less stress, our muscles are naturally going to be relaxed. We're naturally going to be looser. We're naturally going to have more blood flow to the very tissues that we want to have them when we want to perform and when we want to recover. And then lastly, another important piece of this is, as we increase insulin resistance, you lose more calcium in your urine. So what does this mean? This means that you will have less bone repair within your body. So again, increase insulin resistance. So increase stress hormones like cortisol, which lead to increased insulin resistance. Increase in those stress hormones actually leads to having less bone repair. And so when we talk about less bone repair, what are we really talking about? Well, we're talking about stress fractures and eventually fractures and nagging bone injuries, which nobody else can understand or point their finger to. And so this is what I want to leave you with. You have two options. You can wait until you have an injury, which most people do, and most people never fully recover. And when they do, they have to take medications, or they have to do things that aren't physiologically compatible with their bodies, are things that don't actually lead to increase in optimal performance in the first place. Or The other option is you could simply check yourself. You could take the brain balance assessment that is in this show notes and just see where's your nervous system functioning. Where's your neurology at? Because if you never address your neurology, if you never address your nervous system, you cannot address or change the physiology within your system because your body will be stuck in stress mode. Because of the way that your brain, the left prefrontal cortex and the right prefrontal cortex, control your body's ability to deal with and turn on and off stress, if you are stressed out, and you're not fighting or running away, regardless of whether you can feel it, you're gonna have stress stuck on in your system. When you have that stress stuck on in your system, it's going to decrease the emotional centers of the brain. It's gonna increase your emotional centers of the brain. It's going to decrease your logic, memory, and focus. You'll be easily distracted, you'll have less willpower, you'll have less concentration. It'll also decrease your sex drive, decrease your sleep, decrease your growth hormone, decrease your recovery. Is what it's all about. And then also it increases your insulin resistance, which decreases magnesium levels, which leads to increased muscle tightness. It leads to increased bone breakdown, which leads to you not recovering at 100%, which ultimately is what it is all about. So my friends, my question for you is this: with this information, what are you gonna do? You can call us, you can request a consult, you can go check out our website for more information. You can take the brain balance assessment by checking out the show notes, or you can continue to go on life as usual, continue getting injured, continue thinking that it's just old age, even though it's not, because I've seen it time and time again in our office. My friends, that is all I have for you today. I love and appreciate every single one of you. We'll come at you live again next week with a very special episode. I love you. I appreciate you. I hope you have an amazing week. We will talk again soon. Peace.
Thank you for listening to The Nexus Podcast with your host, Dr. Daniel Kimbley. If you're interested in receiving more information about optimizing your brain and nervous system, check out our website at www.nexusfamilychiropractic.com.